Ready? My ears are still clogged from the airplane. So if you're, I know Pastor Obi was talking about me, but I didn't hear a thing. I hope it was good. You know, I pray with Keziah and Pastor Obi twice a month. We used to do it every week, it changed my life. So I'm very humbled to be able to be here, and very grateful. In a building right down in the center of town, it's that big red brick building there, you know, Santec. I was there working. In fact, I'm going to be there tomorrow. But I was there with Kenny Higgins, and he said to me, he says, hey, we were supposed to go out for lunch. He says, you want to go to a prayer meeting? I'm thinking, I'm hungry. You know, I don't know. But I said, okay. And so we went to this prayer meeting, and lo and behold, I met Pastor Obi, and we shared, and he said, hey, would you like us to pray for you on Monday morning? Of course, I thought it was one time. I thought it was a one-time prayer. So I got on, and I prayed with them. It was great, great. They're called the Wailing Women, and they, I guess it's Mama Bella's birthday, you know, so, but, and I said, yeah, I said, I'd like to have somebody prayer. I'd like to have prayer on a regular basis. I've never had, like, prayer on a regular basis, like intercessory prayer. And I'm involved in some pretty strategic things around around this country and around the world, actually. And as we started to pray, I want to tell you something. It changed things in my wife and I. It changed some things. You know, you hear him talk a lot about the covenant. You probably say, oh, you know, don't talk about the covenant anymore. But he has to talk about the covenant because this book is two covenants. There's two covenants in here, the old covenant and the new covenant. And I came in to the old covenant, was born and raised a conservative Orthodox Jew. And so I bar mitzvahed, and, you know, studied Hebrew, did the whole thing. Went through all the rites that you read that Jesus went through. I went through the Pijanah Ben, the rite of the firstborn, the dedication of the first male child, the bar mitzvah at 13 when you become a man, the confirmation. I went through all of those things that Jesus went through as a Jew. And so it became very relevant to me. And when he talks about the covenant, he talks about it in the prayer times. You know, he'll speak to us, and he'll say, he'll talk about the covenant. And I want to tell you something. You're never too sophisticated or too special to not. In other words, I deal with a lot of very powerful people. And it's amazing to me how, in circumstances, they are as needy and as vulnerable and have circumstances like everybody else. You look at them and say, well, they got a lot of money, and, you know, they don't have a problem, and, oh, yes, they do. Or you think they're a powerful leader or a government official or somebody with United Nations. Or, let me tell you something. There's the same issues that go on in everybody's life, and when you're strategically placed in front of somebody, they're never too big to not hear how God is faithful to his covenants. So I'm in that circle. I'm in a circle of very high-powered people. And there was something that was said a few months ago that made a very powerful impact. It was on that Monday morning. At six, between six and seven, you know, and it was at the end, and Pastor Obi said to me, he started to talk to me about memorial stones. About the memorial. Have you heard about the memorial stones? Has he talked to you about the memorial stones too? Well, anyway, he was talking to me about memorial stones. And so I went back and I started to read about it. I mean, I read about it before. It's not like I had read about it. But I went and I read about it in a different way. I started to read about it thinking, you know, this was something that was said to me, and I need to really take it to heart. And so I went back and I started to read about the memorial stones as a result of this Monday morning prayer, as a result of hearing about the covenants, as a result of being invited into this prayer group, as a result of the changes that happened in my life. So I went ahead and I started to read about it. And so let me just read a couple of scriptures to you in Joshua and how pertinent this is and why, no matter who you meet or who's in your life, these memorial stones are significant to you. I'm going to talk to you about memorial stones because we all have them. I never worry about where God sends me. You know, you never have to apologize for this is a small church that I come to. This is, to me, no different. Last week I spoke at a church of 5,000. It's no different. To me, it's the same anointing. It's going to be the same Holy Spirit, the same power. God has me here this morning for a reason. And the reason is you. And so there's going to be something that God has me to do for you. It's not about me. It's about you. He brought me here for you. And he didn't mind, doesn't mind changing my life at all if it makes the people that he loves something significant in their lives. So I've gotten used to that over 40 years of serving Jesus. You never know what's next. So in Joshua, I'll just read it to you. Joshua, the third chapter. Now the children of Israel, I'll just give you a little background here. They've been in the desert for 40 years. And so they didn't have to be in the desert for 40 years. They could have gone they could have gone right over. I'll let you hold that for me. I might kick it again. So they could have gone right over to the promised land. But because of unbelief and because they sent out the spies and they believed the bad report, they didn't go right over. So they had to wander for 40 years. Because of that unbelief and because of really they had a culture of slavery. They had been slaves for 600 years. And so they were used to somebody providing for them. They were not used to being able to go out and make it on their own. So they had a whole culture of slavery. They had a culture of really not having faith, not be able to go outside of that realm. And that generation had to die off, and a new generation had to be born that was not born in slavery, that was born in freedom. And so that when that generation was ready to go over into the promised land, God spoke to Joshua, and he told him, and I'll just tell you about it. You don't have to, it's in the third chapter. You can read it. But what he told Joshua was this. He said, you're going to cross over, and the ark is going to go before you. You've never been this way before. So I want you to tell the nation, when they see the ark move out, then have them follow the ark. Stay about 1,000 yards away, and then pass by it. But the people are looking, and they're seeing the Jordan River is at flood stage. The widest, and the Jordan River is a pretty wide river at certain places. I've been to Israel. I've seen it. I was baptized in it, so I get it. It's a pretty, in certain places, especially where they crossed over at flood stage, it was pretty wide. And it was high. But remember, when they crossed over the Red Sea, they crossed over and the Red Sea parted. They came over on dry land and went into the desert. Now they're getting ready to go through another body of water. And God says to Joshua, look, we're going to do this. You're going to go over on dry land. So think about this. Here's the ark, and it's at flood stage. And so the Levites, the priests, they take a step, and as soon as their feet hit the water started to roll back, went back miles up to a city called Adam, rolled back, and it appeared dry land. And, of course, they had to walk through. There's a lot of rocks in the river and stones and all kinds of things. And the nation, more than 1 million people, passed by that ark over on dry land from one side to the other, a nation of freedom. There were 40,000 warrior military guys and that went in the front. There were the priests and the military guys that went. And they cross over and... Now they're over there, and God speaks to Joshua, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want each of the 12 tribes to take a rock. You got a rock, and I want them to make a memorial, a monument on the other side. And the reason that I want them to do this is so when the generations come and say, what is that? What is that monument? What is that memorial? That they'll be able to say, this is the miracle that God did, that the nation crossed over on dry land. Not only that, there were many battles that were going to take place. And these guys, who were military guys, never fought anybody. They were out in the desert learning how to prepare for war, but they never fought anybody, never had any practice. And the very first city they're going to fight is a big walled city, Jericho. And so God had to produce this miracle in their lives to create faith in them to be able to go against this walled city and all the battles that were going to follow. And so they take the memorial and they look at it. And it's not, I mean, you're not taking 12 big stones and putting them on top of each other. You're going to make a little foundation. Probably put 4 or 5 of them around, then you'll put 3 on top of that and 2 on top of that, and you know, until you make a pretty sturdy monument. Well, I started to think about these memorial stones. And as I started to think about memorial stones, I want you to think about your memorial stones. What memorial stones do you have? You might say, well, I don't know if I have any. I guarantee you have some. And God's going to put you in front of somebody at some point in your life to talk about the memorial stones in your life. So you better think about them and realize they're there. So I started to think about the first memorial stone as a Christian. I started to think about it. I thought, well, here I am, a Jewish guy, and, you know, I meet this gal, and I dated her in high school, and her boyfriend was going to beat me up, and so I didn't date her after that. And then I met her again in a bar, after I had gone through a divorce. And it was the same girl that I had dated before. And so it was actually, I'm married to her today. It's my wife, Patty. And so, but it's funny how all that, you know, those connections. Well, I think about, you know, if I wasn't a believer, definitely she would be a memorial stone in my life. I mean, I've been married for 42 years. So it's not like, you know, I've been... Well, we've been practicing. Well, we have been practicing, I guess, for 42 years. I guess it's all practice, you know, until you get to, you think you know somebody, and then sometimes you think you, I thought I knew you, but I guess I really didn't know you that way. So, but especially when they get angry. How about it, you know? So here's the deal. She really introduced me, really, to Jesus. It's amazing what a good-looking girl can do. Get a good-looking girl, nice legs. I'll tell you what, I mean, you might just follow her anywhere, you know? I mean, I don't want to be too spiritual about it because I really didn't care about Jesus when she was telling me about it. I cared about her. How about it? And so I could have said yes to anything at that point. But, you know, it's amazing how she was raised Presbyterian, and she was trying to figure it out for herself. She had a girlfriend that had gotten saved, the Pentecostal girlfriend. I didn't know it from anything. And they're trying, you know, she's trying to tell me about Jesus. It just, I didn't get it, didn't want to get it, didn't care about it, thought Jesus was a nice guy, a great rabbi, great historical figure, somebody that changed the how we date the years, AD, BC, definitely a great historical figure, had some great sayings, was part of one of the greatest hoaxes in the world. They stole the body. There's no way that Jesus could be the Son of God, because I said all my life, I said, Shema Yisrael Adonai Elchenu Adonai Echad. That's not tongues, it's Hebrew. And it's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So I figure, well, how could Jesus be God when I said that? How could he, of course I didn't realize that the one is a plural one, like one bunch of grapes, a lot of grapes there, like Echad, Echad, Eshkol, which is one bunch of grapes, But you don't think about those things. I wasn't interested. So it took an experience. It took a memorial stone for me to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And what it was I went to a church. It was a Pentecostal church. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. People were crazy. They stood up. They had their hands up in the air. They were crying. They were laughing. I never saw stuff like this at the synagogue, never. Who does that stuff? So I walked out. I walked out of the service. And then they were talking about tongues, and they're telling people, come up and get a tongue. I was just not there, There was just no way. And so I got up and I walked out. But a man came and followed me out the door. And when he followed me out the door, he came up and he said, can I pray with you? And I said, yeah, how long could he pray? He can't pray that long. Oh, my gosh. He prayed. But in the middle of the prayer, he started to speak to me in Hebrew. He started to speak. He was praying a prayer that I had studied. I prayed it every Saturday morning. It was called the Amida. And he was taking a portion of that prayer. He was praying it over and over and over and over again. And so I thought he was Jewish. I said, my gosh, what's the chance of another Jew being in this place? It's got to be a million to one, bazillion to one. And at the end of the prayer, I said, you're Jewish. He says, no, I'm not Jewish. I said, you're not? I said, do you know I'm Jewish? He said, I don't know who you are. I said, well, where'd you learn Hebrew? He says, that was Hebrew? I said, you just spoke to me in Hebrew. You were praying the Amida. You were praying in my dialect. There's two dialects. There's an Ashkenazic dialect, which is Eastern European, and there's a Sephardic dialect, which is around the Mediterranean. The Sephardic is what they speak in Israel today. So he was praying the Ashkenazic dialect. It's the difference between Adonai, the name of God, and Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. And so I recognized it right away. He said, that was Hebrew? I said, yeah, it was Hebrew. He said, that was Hebrew? He was more amazed that he was speaking tongues and it was Hebrew. I'm like chopped liver already. He didn't care about me. I'm out of the picture. I was speaking Hebrew. Are you kidding me? It was tongues. Woo, woo, woo. but he got my attention. And, of course, at that point, I knew something was supernatural. I walked into something supernatural. What it was, I don't know. Everything to me could have been supernatural. But that was something that impacted me. I never read in the Bible where it said tongues was a sign for the unbeliever. Never read that, because I never read the New Testament. And so here it was. It was a sign for the unbeliever. And here it was God bridging these covenants for me. Because I believed in the old covenant. I believed in the historical figures of Moses. I believed in them, even though sometimes I thought maybe these stories were a little wild. Because it's a problem. When you have a PhD in psychology, it's not easy to get past some of the basic truths of Christianity or religion, because it doesn't compute in your head when you're well-educated. Things aren't finite enough. They have to be taken on faith. And so here I am. I'm thinking about this, and I'm realizing that you know, I did believe in the old covenant. I did believe in those things. I did believe that God gave a law. I don't know if God created Adam and Eve. I hadn't gotten that far. I mean, I could just believe it on face value. But I'd also, you know, what about evolution? And what about all these other things that go on, you know, that impact stuff? Do you just throw all that away? What is it? So I had a tough time in the very beginning. But I couldn't get away from the fact that God spoke to me through a man's mouth, and it was Hebrew in my own dialect. I couldn't get past that one. That was my story. Now, we could argue evolution, and we could argue some of the things of the Bible all day long, but you can't argue with me about that experience because it happened to me. You can't argue with me. Now, why did it happen? How did it happen? Because God was giving me a memorial stone. He was giving me a stone that was going to be on the foundation of everything that I was going to build on. There it was. And when my parents, when my mother kicked me out of the house because she thought I was accepting Jesus, I was able to stand on that memorial stone because it was real to me and say to her, look, I love you. You know, she says, you're going to kill your father. My father had terminal cancer at the time. She said, you're going to kill your father. You're going to kill your father. You're going to kill your grandparents. We're going to be a disgrace in the Jewish community. How can you do this? How can you do this? It was a memorial stone that kept me. And that way, and it wasn't the only one. Because it was right after that when I did get kicked out and my clothes were packed and I went down to Patty's house, and I said to her, you know, I said, I just got kicked out of my house. I said, my parents are distraught. They can't believe this, that I've accepted Jesus, the first one in a whole lineage of Jews that has accepted Jesus, a disgrace to them, to my grandparents, to my community. I'm in business with a father and a grandfather. I don't know what to do. What's tomorrow going to be like? She said, well, let's go to church tonight. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's the last thing I want to do is go to church. You know, I mean, I just got kicked out of my house. She wants to go to church. She's seeking something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, the baptism of the what? She's seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know what that is. I didn't know what it was. But she was seeking it, and she wanted to go to church and take me to church with her. And I'm thinking, oh, no, but I went. And I'm in this church, and the offering plate came around, and I had $50. I had $50 in my pocket, and I threw the $50 bill in the offering plate and said, oh, God. I've lost everything. Go ahead and take the $50. Take everything. Take it all. It's the martyr's prayer, you know. It's reverse psychology what it is, you know. I was trying to do some kind of a gestalt on God, you know. Take it everything. Take everything. See what you're doing to me. Take everything. So at the end of the service, everybody's going to the front of the church. I'm thinking, what is happening at the front of the church? Why is everybody up at the front? So, and I'm at the back, and there's nobody beside me. Everybody is at the front. Patty's at the front. The people that we were sitting with, they went to the front. I'm sitting in the back. They're at the front. So I figured, I'm going to the front. So I walked up, and as I'm walking up, this guy grabbed my arm. I'm like walking past him like this, and he's sitting in this chair, and he reaches out and he grabs my arm. And I look at him, and he looks at me, and I just got a hold of my arm. And he looked at me, and he said, everything is going to be okay with your mother. I couldn't even talk. I'm thinking, he talked to Patty, but I couldn't find her up with the group of people. She was somewhere in the crowd up there. And I'm thinking, he must have talked to her. She said to him, go tell him everything's going to be okay with your mother. Now, I'd just gotten my clothes handed to me that day by who? My mother. Then this other guy came up to me and he goes, "Brother, do you want the power of God in your life?" The power of God. So I figure, she had already cost me $50. Why not? I already got $50 invested here. I want it. Whatever is coming next, I've already paid for it. I want it. Well, this guy says, "Okay, brother, here it comes." And he put his hand on my head, and I fell on the floor. You could not have got me to lay on a floor. Who walked on that floor? You couldn't get me on a no. I'm down on this floor. And then I start to speak a language I never studied. I got these words coming out of my mouth. Coming out of my mouth. I want to tell you, I got up, I was a little woozy. I didn't drink anything. I was woozy. And I'll tell you what, that was a memorial stunt. Because nobody could argue with me about what happened that day in that church on that floor. You can't argue. You can't tell me it didn't happen. You could tell me I'm crazy. You could tell me I'm bizarre. But you can't tell me it didn't happen. So it's a memorial stunt. Just so happens the next day my mother called me and said, "I had a dream last night. God came to me in a dream calling me by my Hebrew name." Her name's Drezalenka. That was her Hebrew name. "And I knew I had to make peace with you." She said, "I can't believe what you believe." She said, "But you've always been a good son. You're a good son. It went on, and my mother ultimately got saved. My father got saved and got healed of terminal cancer. I can go on with the memorial stones that happened from that event. Nobody can take that away from me. It's a memorial stone. It's on the pile of stones. I got involved with a foundation. It was called the Bear Foundation, B-A-I-R. Bill Bear was the guy who started it. He went to the sixth grade. He was not a very educated man. But they took kids into his home and it started Christian foster care. What started. And so he asked me if I would get involved with the Bear Foundation and help him, because I had the degrees and I had the things that he needed. But I was busy. I really didn't want to. I said, "I'll pray about it, you know." And sometimes you say, "I'll pray about it," and it's because you're not doing it. How about it? You know. Come on, this is Sandy you're talking to here. So yeah, I'll pray about it, but you know. But anyway, I was praying about it, and it's like a voice spoke to me one morning before I was getting up, and the voice said to me, "If you take care of these kids, I'll take care of your kids." It was a voice in a dream. The thing was, I didn't have any kids. I didn't have any kids. "If you take care of these kids, I'll take care of your kids." Patty and I had just gotten married. We didn't have any children of our own. She had a little girl to her first marriage. I tried to adopt her, but her father, who didn't pay any support and abandoned her, every time I tried to adopt her, there would be some filing in there saying I couldn't adopt her. And so it was pretty difficult, you know. So after I said, "Yes, I'll do that. I will be involved with the foundation," The state of Pennsylvania finds the deadbeat dad, gets a hold of him. He has a business. They're going to come against his business. He calls my wife, Patty, and he's yelling and screaming on the phone. She gives the phone to me, and I say to him, I said, look, here's the deal. You're worried about losing your business. You're worried about all this money. Here's the deal. Let me adopt Colleen, and you don't owe anything. He said, done. I had my first kid, my first daughter. And she's a wonderful daughter, and just it's the best deal I ever made. What a deal. You know, a few thousand bucks, I bought a girl. What can I tell you? You know, today you got to be careful if you say that, right? But I did it for real. I bought my daughter. And, you know, if you go to the Office of Vital Statistics, my name is there as her father. How about that? And after that, we had two little ones. It was not easy because my wife was barren. She wasn't able to have. She had one ovary. She had a big cyst on her other ovary. They were going to do a hysterectomy. But she knew, take care of these kids and I'll take care of your kids. That's a memorial stone. Especially if something happens and it's real. But she saw what happened with Colleen. That was absolutely an impossible situation. But if you take care of these kids, I'll take care of your kids. And now all of a sudden I have a kid. And so she had faith. She was worried about this hysterectomy. She was worried about them taking this her last ovary. And a second time, a voice spoke to me. Not only spoke to me, but I saw a picture in a dream of an old man holding a baby in his hand. And he was crying and weeping and picking that baby up and giving thanks and crying. And that voice spoke, that same voice spoke and said, as I gave Abraham a male child, I will give you a male child. These voices in a dream. I've been a Christian for 42 years, and it's only happened three times. Some people it's never happened to. I'm fortunate it happened three times. But that stirred something in Patty. She, when the doctor came in and she had to sign a release form, she put on there, no hysterectomy. Oh, you'd have thought, he was angry, let me tell you. He says, you're tying my hands. She says, I'm tying your hands so you don't tie me. And lo and behold, when he went in there, she didn't need the hysterectomy. It would have been very easy, go in, hysterectomy, but found a cyst. And that the fact that it wasn't even the cyst peeled off her ovary, was amazing. But it was actually from adhesions from a first surgery, and she was pregnant 4 months later. I work fast. I wasn't fooling around. You know. Come on, you know. You know. And so, you know, then we had a little girl after that. If you take care of these kids, I'll take care of your kids. You know, that's a memorial stone. A memorial stone. And so, you know, it's part of my covenant. Every time, Pastor Obi, when you talk about covenant, I go back to these stones and I realize these stones are a part of my covenant, old and new. And we pray plenty for my children. I mean, my kids have needs. Just like your kids. Just like the kids you want to have. They're going to have needs. And so, what are you going to hold on to? What are you going to hold on to when stuff happens? When the enemy wants to rob and to kill and destroy? What are you going to hang on to? I mean, it's great. We came in here, we sang some wonderful songs. God is good. Oh, yes. He never fails. Yes. Never leaves us, never lets us down. Yes. But if you have a memorial stone, those words become even more powerful. I have a memorial stone concerning money because I've come here today to do a couple things. And one of them is to release some finances, not only into this house, but into you. And a Jew can do that. All right? Jesus was a Jew. If he could do it, I can do it, right? Because he gave us the authority and he gave us the Word of God and he gave us the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes all it needs to be is released, just a release, something in the heavenlies to release that you catch on to, and it'll become a memorial stone for you. I want there to be so many memorial stones for you concerning finances that you don't know where. There are too many to even put on the foundation. How about it? You know, I could talk about many, many things that have happened with money. But I'm going to talk about one. I'm going to talk about one that was really very crucial. My grandfather had passed. And he was a good man. My grandfather was my best friend. He was, you know, I could tell you that I never realized what a great friend my grandfather was to me. My grandfather was blind. I never remember him being able to see. But you know what? He was not angry over the fact he was blind. And he was not, it's like he wasn't negative. Does that make sense? I mean, you could say, oh, woe is me. I'm blind. I saw. Why did this happen to me? God, why did God let this happen? I'm upset. I mean, you could go into all kind of gyrations. It's one thing to have something and then to lose it. You know, in fact, a fellow was just telling me yesterday, I was talking to him, and he was telling me about his dad. I was on the plane with him. He was telling me about his dad. How his dad has a macular degeneration, is losing his eyesight, and how angry and bitter his father is. But I have a memorial stone. I'm sitting there beside the guy. There he's going to Jacksonville to a golf tournament, and we're talking. But I have a memorial stone that I can talk about, a blind grandfather that was positive and that was able to, impart positive things into me. And when he passed, it wasn't an easy thing on me financially. I had to go through an estate problem. And then my father passed away not long after that, after my dad was healed. Had many years of good health from terminal cancer. He had Hodgkin's disease in the fourth stage. It was a miracle. And so I had to go through this very difficult time. And at the same time, we were in the petroleum business. And my supplier became my competitor on the same markets. And they were selling gas for less than I was paying for it. I mean, so the dynamics for that's not good. And so I ended up having a very, very difficult time. I had to close things down. Ended up being well over $1 million in the hole. And that was a number of years ago. So $1 million was $1 million. And I was a lot of turmoil. And I'll never forget one time in church that the pastor was talking about sowing out of your debt, sowing out of your need, giving. And so I had an immediate need of like $32,000. It was like immediate, or we were going to lose where we lived. And there were all kind of things that were happening. And a church that I had worked for ended up giving my ministry. And I went ahead and I put in an IOU. I didn't even have the money. I put in an IOU because I figured from Corinthians, God gives seed to the sower. And I think, well, that would be part of my covenant. And so I went ahead, I gave an IOU, and then somebody had given me, it was like $35,000. It was like $32 plus the tithe. Now, what do you think I wanted to do with it? I wanted to pay off the bills so that I didn't have the pressure at that moment. Are you with me? Are we all in the same circle? Don't you want to do that? Absolutely. Hey, God gave me that money. And so this voice on this shoulder over here says, Oh, wow, you got that money. Wow, you can pay your vow. And the voice over here on this shoulder says, are you nuts? Are you crazy? What are you talking about? Pay your vow. Pay your bill. Remember your vow. Pay your bill, stupid. Remember your vow. Pay the bill. So let's take a vote, okay? You're in all that pressure. I mean, you need the money. People are calling. The bank's on your back. Stuff's happening. And you try to say, well, God, you gave me the money to pay the bills. Isn't that wonderful? But God gave me the money to pay the vow. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was to pay the vow, plant the seed. It was hard. But what it did was it broke loose finances in my life that was far greater than anything that I could imagine, that I was able to pay all that debt or negotiate all that debt off in a couple of years. Millions of dollars. Most amazing thing. You look at it. Nobody can take that away from me. I lived it. It's a stone. So there are those of you here that you, there's somebody in your life that maybe isn't able to have a child, or that you want a child in the future. You could, I can say to you, I have a memorial stone. We had children come when they weren't supposed to come, and I can pray with you for faith. I have faith for that. You could say, but I'm in financial trouble. I could say, well, when I didn't have any money and I was facing more debt than I ever thought that I could ever pay, and all of a sudden I had to give money away that came to me that I didn't know what to do with, and the one side of me, and I made it through that test. I could pray for any kind of financial thing in your life. So that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I believe God sent me to do. And so here's the way the scripture goes. It's pretty straightforward, pretty wonderful scripture, great story. I've read it 1,000 times since you talked to me about it. I can't tell you. I've read it. I've dreamt about it. I've pictured it. I've pictured the, how did they hold the Ark of the Covenant? It's heavy. It's heavy. They probably lined up at every so many minutes one, because you couldn't touch it. You couldn't touch it. You had to touch the poles. You could only touch the poles. Remember the guy that touched the Ark and died? So you couldn't touch it. So how they were keeping it up while millions of people passed by. I went up and I looked at the map of the Jordan River, and I saw where they said, and I saw it was at actually the widest part of the Jordan where they crossed at flood stage. Amazing. Because God didn't want anything to be said, this is coincidence. So here it is. It says, in the third chapter, it says, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. And Joshua told the people, consecrate, for tomorrow you'll see the Lord do amazing things among you. Then in the fourth chapter, the first verse, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from amongst the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priest stood. So not anywhere, but it was where the priest stood. And it says, carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Then I like also in the fourth chapter, it's around the 21st verse, it says, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before them until they crossed over. He did this so all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So that's the deal. I wonder if I could get a little music here. A little traveling music. Boom, 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 boom. I try to have rhythm. I can. So first thing, here's what I want to share. I mean, listen, I could preach if I wanted to just preach it. I can preach it. I wanted to just talk to you today. And I wanted to tell you some of these stories, because they're memorial stones, and I probably wouldn't have done it in any other church except that memorial stones are precious to me because of your pastor. So I could line up all kinds of memorial stones. They happen all the time. My kids turned a Jeep over in a river. The water was coming up over the car, and they just kind of baited out. My daughter, two boys that were in the car, were able to make it. They jumped. Ashley was going down the river. God saved her life, saved their lives. Because if you take care of these kids, I'll take care of your kids. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is the last story I'm going to tell you. My daughter Ashley fell when she was 4 years old out of a third-story window in Boston. That's three stories. Look at the top of the building here. 36 feet. That's three stories right there. She fell down right out, went through safety bars, and hit the ground. I was with the superintendent of schools of a large school district here on Thursday, and I was able to share my memorial stone. Very powerful man, controls one of the largest school districts in America. And just so happens, we started talking, and he's a believer. And I started telling about kids, my kids' stories. We were sharing kids' stories, and I shared with him about my daughter. And he has two boys in wheelchairs. And he was a fireman at one time in New York City, and he said, it's no way she could have lived, no way. And so she was 4 years old. My son came in screaming that Ashley fell out of the window, my son Mitchell. He was screaming. He says, Ashley fell out of the window, Ashley fell out of the window. I ran down. There she was laying on the ground, not breathing. And I didn't know what was wrong with her. I just knew she looked like she was dead. And it's amazing the things that you think about in those split seconds. Because one part of me was saying, God, just help me. Jesus, help me. That's all I could say on one side. And on the other side, trying to be realistic and say, you know what? There are people that lose children. I just need to be thankful that I had this child for as long as I had. And just to be thankful for that. I don't know why stuff happens. I don't know. But there's heartbreakers to lose a child. That's why God chose the loss of a child to redeem your eternal, immortal soul, because it's such a tough pain in the human existence, the loss of a child. And so I remember she took a breath. She gasped for breath. And I knew she was alive, and somebody was calling 911, and the ambulance came. My wife was, it wasn't in the day of cell phones, so it's not like I could just text her or call her. I mean, you had to go to a hard line. I didn't know where she was. I didn't know what was wrong with Ashley. I just knew she was in a lot of pain, a lot of distress. And we got to the hospital, and she was in there. I couldn't even go into the intensive care. They had her right in there. But the doctor came out after some time and said to me, said, you know, how far did your daughter fall? So she fell three stories. He said, well, she doesn't have any broken bones. She doesn't have any internal injuries. She doesn't have a concussion. Of course, we can't tell right now. Her neck is intact. We've gone over her. He says the only thing is she has a bruise on her shoulder, a bruise on her hip, and a bruise on her leg. He says, I don't even know how she could have fallen that way. It's almost like three fingers of an angel were there to break that fall. And so she stayed in the hospital, and then we ended up taking her home the next day. We watched her, and the miracle. And I think, you know, there are kids that just fall off the back of a truck and break their neck. And so I don't know why things happen. All I know is that I can't do anything but be thankful. Just thankful. That's all you can do is be thankful. Okay, you can't figure it out. There's no figuring out. There's no figuring out why this happened to me and didn't happen to somebody else. You can't go into that world of guilt, you know? So I was down in Macon, Georgia, and I was speaking at a church down there, and this is the third time that a voice spoke to me. So we're talking quite a few years ago, and the voice spoke to me in the dream and said, I saved your daughter for the children not yet born from her body. Woke up, wrote it in my journal, called Patty. Ashley didn't think she could have children. She's had Lyme's disease. She's had severe endometriosis. She was raped at college. So we gave her a date rape drug. Attacks on her female parts. We're starting to pray with the Whaley women. I know, because I know you remember this, and I mentioned, I said, my daughter, Ashley, doesn't think she could have children, and she'd like to have a child. And we started praying. We prayed. And lo and behold, Ashley got pregnant. I know you remember that. We were, because it's like it's their baby, too. And Ashley got pregnant. 31 years from the time God spoke that I saved your daughter for the children not yet born from her body. 31 years. And God brought out Sophie. 31 that memorial stone, I'll tell that little kid till the day I die. I speak it to my daughter, Ashley. I speak it to my son-in-law, who's not a believer. I speak it to everyone. I speak it to you. That's a memorial stone. Nobody can take it. Held that baby out there, like you said, times you have to pick that baby up. I held that baby and dedicated that baby to the Lord. I went through their house and anointed every room. I was out walking her. I was dedicating to the Lord and talking over her in tongues. Because that's a memorial stone. And God brought her as a child of the promise. What are your memorial stones? Think about them. Write them down. Meditate on them. Because there'll come a time when you'll need them. And you'll have to speak them forth with the faith just like the way they came. Father, I thank you for your goodness. There's nobody like you. You are good. You are so good. There's nobody like you. Nobody beside you. And Lord, I just know that this morning the faith is rising here, because there are things that need to happen in our lives. There are things that need to happen in the realm of relationships, in the realm of children, in the realm of health, in the realm of the future. This is a time when you're doing things for this house that only you can do. There are those that are worried about things, even now, wondering what's going to happen this next year, what's going to happen, the pressure. I don't want to be under the same pressure I was under in 2017. What's going to change? There's changes that are happening. Lord, I just lay them out for you, because we are followers of Jesus. We are followers of the covenant. You've made agreements with us that cannot be broken. They are foundational. They are in place and they cannot be changed. It is the way you are, and it is what you do, and it's how you think. I'm going to speak some words over some people. First word I'm going to speak over is this gal right here. Are you ready? Now here's a thought that comes to me. And the thought is this, that you are familiar with pain. And you have struggled in the world that comes of raising a family. And things have not gone the way you pictured them, but you have survived in a very, very unique way. So God wants to turn the hourglass for you, and he wants to take the pain that you felt, things you don't talk about, which is okay, and he wants to take the pain of that, and he wants to turn it into something that's a blessing for those that you love today. For as much hurt and as pain as you felt is as much joy as you will feel in the other direction. What's your name? Landry? Did I say that right? Remember, my ears are clogged. So. Landry, here's a thought that I have for you. Landry, there's things that you do really well. And there's things that you try to do that aren't so well. But if you stick with the things you do well, God's going to promote you, and he's going to lift you up, and he's going to make you successful. Your words are powerful. People can believe what you say. There are things that you can see beyond even the things that people look at. That's valuable. Don't discount it as not valuable. behind every powerful, powerful thought takes action. Doesn't make any difference what's happened in the past. It only makes a difference what happens in the future. This gal right here. What's your name?
Tolu.
Okay, everybody got that? Did everybody get it?
Tolu.
Here's a thought that I have for you. If God says that he wants to plant you someplace, there's not a force on earth that can move you from where he wants you to be. And sometimes you go back and forth over your mind, you know, don't want to be here, don't want to be there, don't want to be here, don't want to be there. Well, he's going to open doors that nobody can close. And you will say, thank you, Lord, and you will praise him because you are going to the top of the list, not the bottom of the list. This gal back here, got that little brooch on. Yeah. What's your name? What is it, Cynthia?
Cynthia.
I heard that. Now, believe me, I feel like I'm in a tunnel. I'm not kidding you. So, Cynthia, here's the thought that I have for you. You know, there have been things that have been told you that you believed to be true. And you said, you know what? This is the way my life is going to go. But then it turned upside down. Because oftentimes the things that are said are not always followed up on. But God has given you the ability to navigate. He made you strong in the midst of times when you weren't sure how you were going to navigate that stream. And he made you think a certain way. You are, if I had something to get done, I'd give it to you because you can get it done. You know how to get things done. You can take information. You can make a decision. You can do it. It's very valuable. But that part of you is strong. And sometimes you say, that's good, but the relationship part of me isn't so good. I speak over you that God is going to give you increased time to have the desires of your heart. There's more time for you than you can even imagine. The hour clock has a lot of time up there as the sands begin to come down. Lots of time, lots of time. Take the books off the shelf. Take the dreams back and walk forward. So what are you going to get us to all sing together? I'm going to continue on. I got a few more minutes here. But we
can sing something.
Yeah.
Sing something.
All right.
You're all. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are
thought for you. What's your name? Peggy. Say that again. I can't. Maddie. Maddie, okay. Maddie, Peggy. Okay, Maddie. Maddie, here's a thought that I have for you. You know, you made some pretty good choices. And they've been pretty tough choices all at the same time because it guided you to where you are today, those choices. And but how about if God said, you know, all along you thought it was your choices, but I am bringing you along this way, and even the next choices that you'll make will be for the desires of your heart. Because it's not always been so, but you will marry one man for a lifetime. One man for your lifetime. Jackson. Well, Jackson, you're a pretty smart cookie. And here's the deal. You know, it's very tough when you're smart and you can do a lot of things and then you're not quite sure what it's all about. In other words, you know, am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to do this? It's kind of like you move in that direction and it's good, but where you're going is not where you're going to end up. So you're going to learn some things along the way, and the most valuable thing you're going to learn is what you don't want to be. You're going to say, "But I thought I wanted to do that. I thought I wanted to do that." And you're going to find out, no, this is what God wants you to be, and He wants to prosper you because you've got a good mind, and you're in that world of technology, which is a good thing. Your name?
Good fella.
Everybody got that? You know, everybody know him? Okay. Here's the thought that I have. You know, sometimes it's not even so much about about us as much as it is about the next generation. That's really sometimes what God looks at and says, you get into things that oftentimes, how do you have impact on others? Well, God's been working you over for years and bringing you to a place to where you are now, where things are basically stable. So I speak over you that your words are going to change the lives of the next generation, that they're going to be young men who don't know how to navigate the stream, and you're going to speak to them and they're going to find life from your words, and God's going to prosper you in ways that you've not imagined, where you're not going to think about, do I have to do this, do I have to do that, do I have to do this, but God's going to give you some benefactors that are going to bless you. Not because of you, but it's because of what you can do for the next generation. Father, we just praise you, praise you, praise you. I just feel a miracle on her right now. I just speak over you right now. God would bring just a miracle to you, right into your physical well-being. I just speak it over you right now in the powerful name of Jesus, that God would bring healing to you, that you would not be thinking about these things. I speak to you right now in the powerful name of Jesus that you be healed. And here's the thought. I have another memorial stone. In 2000, my wife was told that she had ductal carcinoma. She had breast cancer. She is now a 17-year cancer survivor. 17 years, my wife Patty. So when I start to speak over, and there's some that are worried about the very things that she had concerned about, and your mind goes to to that area, and sometimes. But I'm going to speak healing right now. That memorial stone, I put that out here right now in the powerful name of Jesus. And I'm going to say that even in our families, maybe it's not even so much, but maybe it's somebody that you love. But I take authority. Cancer, you are a name. But Jesus, you are the name above that name. That is part of our covenant. I speak life to that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So let's all stand together and let's just sing that song.
I've ever needed. You're all I want. Sing, help me know. Help me know you are near. Sing, you're all. You're all I want. Sing, you're. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know. Help me, Lord, you are near.
As we await the word, the message you received this morning, it's probably one of the most powerful messages ever. It is easy to preach this Bible, but it's not easy to tell the story of what has happened. It's easy to talk, but it's not easy to have testimonies, miraculous testimonies. What the Lord is saying to every one of us here, I'm still a God of miracles. And I'm a God of covenants. Today is our covenant memorial day. And this word came so that we'll remember the things that God has done in our lives at Memorial Stone. Like he said, the only reason I'm able to face Goliath today is because I have a testimony of a bear behind me. What you just heard God speak to you is, do not despise even the smallest miracles in your life. Stand on what God has done and let God build upon that. Amen? So, as you take this communion this morning, thank God that is in covenant with you. And thank God for the promises of God. And remind God with thanksgiving for how far he's brought you. And that way, your position for where God is taking you. Amen? So, please just come quickly. We don't have plenty of time, but this morning is our covenant. Remember, the word used was memorial stones. You have to take this if you're born again. And if you want to be born again, you can take this. Amen? Just come and take this. You're making a covenant with Jesus today. With Jesus. And if you're married, use this to remember your covenant marriage.
You're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good. You're good. Oh, yes, you are good.
Yes, Lord.
You're good. Oh, you are good.
Father, indeed, we declare this morning that you are good. You have been so good to us. Thank you, O God, for the word that you gave us today. Thank you, Father, for the things you have done. I want to thank you especially for the blood of your Son, for the deliverance you've given us from sin, from death, from hell. This morning, O God, we stand in appreciation. And Lord, as we take this communion, we remember. We remember, oh God, that wonderful thing you did, and we say thank you. And Lord, we say we are encouraged this morning. Our faith rises up. We know you can do greater, you will do greater. So, Father, bless these elements. Bless this time, oh God, as we take this communion together. in remembrance of you, in remembrance of your goodness, and in anticipation of greater things you will yet do. Thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for the revelation of your faithfulness today. All you are asking us is to find one thing that we know, that we know, that we know you have done. If we can stand on it, Father, you said you will build more memorials. Father, this morning we have come just to say thank you. Help us to remain grateful for what you have done so that you can multiply what you love to do most. That's miracles in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. Today we thank you for all the memorial stones in our lives. Thank you for reminding us of your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithful covenant. Again, we say you are good. Thank you for healing cancers. Thank you for healing diseases. Thank you for the word that has gone forth. We receive, oh God, every confirmation that you are in our midst. Thank you for the visions you've imparted. Thank you for doors you've opened through this message. Father, we receive much more exceedingly abundantly above our expectation in Jesus' name.